Hello and welcome to another podcast. So I had done a poll on Instagram to ask you guys what topic do you wanted me to cover next, and most of you wanted to know what is the ideal workout for you or what workout is best for you. So this is a topic which I chose for this fortnight, and let's discuss on the topic. So let's go. Hello and welcome to Desi Muscles Talk with Nidhi Mohan Kamal, that is me. In this series, we'll be covering everything about diet, exercise, fancy fad, diet trends, workouts, and most importantly, lifestyle. So stay tuned. Before I get into the actual topic of what works best or what is the best workout for anyone, let me first ask you or give you an idea of what's your definition of fitness. So when you come across different people and ask them what their definition of fitness is, see, that definition is going to vary. And I would want you to imagine something as you're listening to me right now. When I say somebody is fit to you, what picture comes into your mind? Imagine these five people that I discuss with you. For the first one is a really slender, muscular yogi who can bend a lot, who's flexible, who can pull on a handstand from almost anywhere. I think the idea that comes in your mind when you hear about this person is this person is fit. Okay, so this person has a lot of strength, a lot of flexibility, maybe not that much of muscle mass in terms of bulk, but they have strength and flexibility. So I consider them fit. Second scenario, let's look at a long distance marathoner. Again, the person looks very slender, yet is very muscular, has a lot of endurance, can run for a couple of hours without getting tired, maybe can run 1,000 kilometers, sorry, not 1,000, 1,000 is too much, maybe can run 100 kilometers. And definitely when I describe this person to you, you will think in your mind that this person is fit. So the person has a lot of endurance, the person has a lot of cardiovascular capacity, they're muscular, but not, again, not that much muscle mass in them, but you would consider them fit. Okay, come to the third person. So assuming that the third person is a short distance runner or a sprinter, the person has very muscular lower body, has very nicely developed legs. The person can run 100 meters in 10 seconds or less. They are fit. They are muscular on certain areas, but maybe they can't run long distance. Maybe they're not flexible, but you would consider that person fit. Okay, am I making sense to you? Switching over to the fourth person. Now, the fourth person is a bodybuilding competitor or a powerlifter. Now, this person is bulky. Okay, they have muscles which, you know, you from a distance, you can make out that this person is, you know, is fit, right? They're muscular. Probably that person cannot run for a very long time. Probably that person is not flexible at all. But that person can really lift weight. And you can see that their muscles popping out. Now, that the person is a typical CrossFitter. They can run, they can swim, they can do a triathlon, they can ride a bike, they can lift heavy, they can power lift, they are flexible, they can get into a handstand, they can do all the things you can imagine. Probably they're flexible also. Now, if you look, if you imagine this person is also fit. So, yeah, so now we come to the idea of it. Now, I think you got what I'm trying to get at with this whole what workouts best for you. So, the thing is, you cannot define fitness in only one paradigm. Every person chooses their different path, and every person has a different kind of fitness. And depending on what your end goal is. See, when you're going to start on your fitness journey, initially, for most people, the goal is just to lose fat, just to, you know, look a certain way. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. But as you get deeper into it and as you get into shape and you have different goals for fitness, different things will work out differently for you. And they all are okay. And they all are good. At the end of the day, it's the end result that matters. Now that I've given you a good idea of what fitness is, and you know, one cannot compare one with the other. I can't compare a yoga person to a bodybuilder. That's like asking a fish to climb a tree. You know, they both are different. They both belong to different worlds, and it's okay because they are very good in their specific category. So yeah, once we've defined fitness, let's come to what workouts would be best for you. If I have to broadly classify workouts, I can classify them into cardiovascular activities, which would mean just the cardio part. Could be just running, could be just long distance cycling, could be just swimming. These all would come under cardiovascular activities. So the first one is cardiovascular activity. Second one is something that increases your flexibility. Could be yoga. And along with flexibility, of course, you need a lot of strength to do it. Could be yoga, could be Pilates, could be some bit of gymnastics. Most of it is explosive workout when it comes to gymnastics, but could be some bit of gymnastics. So if you look at all of these sports and also acro yoga. The third one is where you do your power stuff. Now, I would want to categorize these into two. The first one being the conventional bodybuilding where you do single part at a time, where you focus on one muscle at a time with one workout, with one exercise at one point in time. And the last one, though it is comes under power, but I will put it as a separate category, is CrossFit. Because CrossFit requires compound movements, which means different joints are used in one motion. So yeah, if I look at broadly the categories of workout they can be, one can classify all the workouts into all these. Now, I'm a beginner and I want to choose which workout will work best for me. For me, and this is a personal opinion, I think initially you should be able to get a flavor of all three of them. And as you grow in your fitness journey, you'll get an idea of what works best for you. But let's discuss the plus and minus of all of these if done individually. First one, let's consider flexibility or yoga or all of these things. So definitely there are not many minuses to this. If you do yoga properly, if you do Pilates properly, they will bring you strength, they will bring you flexibility. The only kind of downside to this is that it will not, I'm not saying 100% completely, but it's not specified to building your cardiovascular strength. So if you're working out to improve your heart, if you're working out, if your idea of working out is just to improve the health of your heart, I'm not saying these activities do not require cardiovascular health. They do have, but it's not very specifically cardiovascular. And if you're trying to lose weight, all of these activities, I think I would rate them all equally. The next is cardiovascular activities. Cardiovascular activities like swimming, long distance running, long distance biking, they would all require you to have endurance, which would all work on your heart health, which would all work on your cardiovascular health. So they are very good to improve the health of the heart. Now, you will hear a lot of people say initially when you're trying to lose weight and get into shape, you should do cardio for the first couple of months. I don't really buy that concept because you need to have a healthy mix of all of these three, at least two to begin with. So yeah, cardio is good for you. Not, it's not meant for weight loss. There's nothing of that sort. And there are a lot of people who do just cardiovascular exercise also and they're fit. So at the end of the day, it is going to boil down to what you do throughout the day, not just that activity. But prefer these activities if you want to build your cardiovascular strength. And you must include cardiovascular activities also as a part of your workout, even if you're doing any of the other two. It's very essential that you do it because you're not doing it for losing weight. You're doing it to improve the health of your heart. Last one, and this is my favorite, is pure strength training, be it CrossFit or be it conventional bodybuilding. Both of these work on the principle of muscle hypertrophy, which happens after you after your muscles undergo some sort of stress. The fundamental is very simple when it comes to bodybuilding. You subject your muscles to stress. Under stress, the muscles get this need to grow bigger in size to endure that stress properly, or in a better way. And as a part of this process, your muscles tend to grow bigger. The obvious advantage of bodybuilding is that you're putting direct stress. You are focusing which muscle to go forward with. You can choose where you want to gain hypertrophy of which muscle. So if you feel that you have weaker shoulders, you can actually work on that specific body part and build muscle on a specific area. And I would reiterate, you can't lose fat from a specific area, but you can build a specific area in terms of muscle. So that's a unique advantage that bodybuilding gives. But this advantage is largely in conventional bodybuilding. But if you move to CrossFit, this kind of doesn't happen because CrossFit is multi-joint motion, which means you will develop all your muscles simultaneously, which is almost kind of like yoga. And that's the only difference also, by the way, with both these activities. But there's something called as law of individual differences, which means this law says that one has to consider each person's individual body structure when it comes to designing a program. And you would really see this happening when you talk about conventional bodybuilding. But none of the other activities, be it cardio, be it yoga, be it CrossFit, none of the other activities take this into account. And a good CrossFit teacher and a good yoga teacher or a good cardio coach will always tell you that there would be some places where one person will have a biological genetic advantage over the other. And I'll give you a simple example in both of them. Hypothetically speaking, if you're doing yoga and one person has got shorter legs and the second person has got longer legs and a shorter torso. Now, going down in a forward bend and trying to touch my head to the ground is going to be much easier for a person with shorter legs, much harder for a person with longer legs, because they have to get deeper into the bend or get their legs to be wider, have more flexibility on the lower body and the spine to get the same thing done, because their bodies are geometrically different structures. And similar thing goes for CrossFit also. If you're doing a CrossFit workout, hypothetically speaking, okay, what example should I give? Hypothetically speaking, if I am trying to, say, get toe touches, touching your toes to the bar. Again, I take the example of biological structure, different genetic structures in two people, one person with shorter legs and one person with really long legs. Now, toes to the bar, again, is going to be harder for a person. It's a catch-22. It's going to be a little harder for a person with short legs to get their legs up. They would require more of their abdominal muscles, but their legs would be lighter than the person who's got longer, more muscular legs. For the person who's got longer, more muscular legs, lifting just the weight of their legs up, even though their legs would reach up, easily, or they have that genetic advantage of having longer legs. So ideally, it should touch the pole. Ideally, it should touch the bar easily, but they're heavier also. So they have to do more work against gravity to lift the same legs up. So yeah, these are the differences you will face when you're doing an activity like yoga or CrossFit, because they're designed for a set of group of people, and the same activity is done by a large group of people. And that's where one can have a little bit of a variation. But conventional bodybuilding takes this beauty into consideration very well. So if you're doing conventional bodybuilding and your coach is making a program for you, and the coach knows, and they look at you and they realize that, okay, this person has got really long legs, so for them to get in shape or to build their lower abdominals well, probably 20 into 3 sets of any workout which is lower abdominal, where they're picking up their legs, will work fine. And if they know that with a similar structure, some person who's trying to build up the same amount of strength has legs which are shorter, that means they'll be lighter. There I can increase the number of reps, or I can increase the number of sets. So probably 30 into 3 or probably 20 into 4 will give the same result. And this can be planned for conventional bodybuilding, conventional weight training very easily. But in other forms, that differentiation or that personalization does not come. So, yeah. So, this is basically what my idea of fitness is. This is basically understanding what your end goal is. Then I've given you an idea of what are the different workouts to choose from. What is the plus and minus of all of these? But this was very general. At the end of the day, your idea, your goal for workout should be to not just lose weight, but to gain strength. And what workouts, all of them, you know, all three of them, all three categories of workouts, they all bring the same advantages to the table. They all work on, you know, inducing stress on your bones. That means in the longer run, doing any of these three would mean that you have stronger bones. They all work on building your strength. They all work on building, the strength can vary. They either will be working on just the strength or cardiovascular strength as well, or, you know, strength of your muscles in terms of how flexible they are. So they kind of work on all the different areas of strength. But yeah, they all will make you lose weight, by the way. So they all will burn calories, they all make you lose weight. So it's end of the day, your choice. You can have a mix of all three. You can have a mix of two. Ideally, you should have at least two of these going on parallelly in your life, and you'll see one benefits the other. So even if you're doing yoga and you come from a weight training background, you have a disadvantage, yeah, of being a little stiffer on in terms of flexibility, but that strength gives you a lot of advantage in terms of holding your postures. You know, your core is tighter, you definitely benefit from it. So yeah, that's there. And if you are from a strength background and you switch to cardiovascular activities, of course you have muscles that'll give you that initial push, but probably other people will not have. So it's always good to mix at least two activities together. Again, I would reinforce that men listening to this, amazing, you could do all of those and it's great. But I don't see a lot of women coming forward and doing a lot of strength training, which kind of makes me very sad, because men do need to train. Of course, they need to train. But women need to train. It's very important for women to train, much more important than for a man to train, because women are prone to calcium depletion in their middle age. And the only way you can save yourself from osteo, and I've talked about it in my podcast before this one, so please check it out. Women are going to be far more susceptible to, their bone density falling, osteoarthritis, if they don't strength train. And strength training is going to give you that advantage. Strength training is going to build not just your strength, but it's going to make sure that you're healthy for longer. So yeah, make those choices, make the smart choices. If there are any questions you have for me, and if there's anything specific you want to ask me, you can always write to me at info@nitsin.org. You can visit me on or drop me a DM on Instagram, though I'm very lazy in replying to DMs. But yeah, you can follow me anywhere on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. My handles everywhere is Nidhi Mohan Kamal. You can find me, bug me as much as you can. If you want to know more about weight loss treatments, online diet plans, you can visit our websites. That's www.nidsun.org. That's nitsun.org. I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and I shall see you next time.